This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's good to have you with us today. President Trump launched a voter fraud commission last year to investigate claims, his own claims, that millions of people voted illegally in 2016 and cost him the popular vote against Hillary Clinton. That commission now is no more. We're going to talk more about it later on in the show, but the vote in America is under attack for real by fraud of a different kind. The intelligence community confirms that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. Meanwhile, it's now known that more than 20 states had their election and voting systems probed by hackers, ostensibly looking for vulnerabilities before that 2016 vote. In just a few minutes, we're going to go to Pennsylvania to look at how that big swing state is trying to secure its voting system. But here we are, only about 300 days to go before the 2018 midterm elections. It seems impossible, I know, but it is true. Let's look at the state of election security in the United States. We go to Lily Hay Newman, security reporter for Wired. Lily, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's get a sense of some of what states learned over the summer. There was an announcement that 21 states had detected breaches in their voting systems. How bad were those breaches? Were they uniformly bad? How did states react? I don't know, maybe the best and the worst.
The types of things that come up range from probing of voter rolls, voter registration databases, but also voter registration systems to, you know, forms to get involved in voting or, you know, find out more information. Additionally, there were phishing campaigns against election officials. And a lot security researchers have found many flaws both in over the years, both in voting machines and in voting infrastructure, which may or may not have been exploited during the Russian operations in the 2016 presidential election. There continues to be no evidence that there of vote tampering, but the other sort of probing and hacking that we're talking about is clearly sort of in the neighborhood, you know, relevant. We wonder why would an entity want to be doing that? Why would they be engaging in that activity? So it's certainly vital that officials are taking the steps they're taking to make changes now ahead of upcoming elections, as you said, and the urgency can't be overstated.
Well, Lily, there was some stunning testimony in Congress over the last year, some Senate testimony from a university computer sciences professor who, with his team, had tried to hack into the voting system in the District of Columbia, had succeeded, and said that within minutes had actually changed votes, and nobody ever knew he was there. Listen.
I know America's voting machines are vulnerable because my colleagues and I have hacked them repeatedly as part of a decade of research studying the technology that operates elections and learning how to make it stronger. We've created attacks that can spread from machine to machine like a computer virus and silently change election outcomes.
That's University of Michigan professor J. Alex Halderman on election security. That testimony in front of the Senate was pretty shocking. It must have been something of a wake-up call for a lot of people.
Not for security researchers, though. For people who have been sort of observing this or actively engaging in the questions of how to secure elections, those findings would be, you know, sad to see or, you know, frustrating, but not really surprising because this is really a longstanding conversation since maybe we could say the early 2000s, but not something that came into really full public view until the 2016 presidential election.
Well, what state has done the best since 2016? What state has done the most to secure its election system?
Virginia had a special election, and they ahead of that, they changed all their remaining paperless voting machines, meaning machines that don't provide paper backups to potentially do a recount or an audit, so that their machines would be more robust, and they swapped out all the problematic machines. That was a big step, and a took some hustle to make that happen. Colorado also just recently did a pretty big voting audit. That was off of sort of unrelated or unrelated to the 2016 presidential election, 2009 state bill to try to improve how Colorado does audits to confirm election results. It's a great step, but you can see it took years to make it happen and to get the, you know, officials in place and the infrastructure in place to start doing more advanced statistical analysis to confirm, you know, to check and confirm election results. And it was very successful and could potentially be a model for how other states can do more robust auditing and ultimately, you know, bring the cost down and make it really doable. But as I said, it took years to make it happen. So more and more states are accepting help from DHS through that critical infrastructure designation. So there's a lot going on and things have really progressed, but there's just so much catch-up to do that it's a lot of work left to go.
Lily Hay Newman, security reporter for Wired. Lily, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go to one swing state now that's been working hard to get its dozens of counties all on the same page, and it isn't easy. Marion Schneider is president of Verified Voting. They're an election security and verifiability advocacy group. She used to be deputy secretary for elections and administration in Pennsylvania, and when she was, she saw firsthand a lot of the challenges plaguing so many counties and states when it comes to election security. Marion Schneider, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you were on the front lines of this election security issue in my home state of Pennsylvania. When you were there, what did you see as some of the biggest threats to voting systems across that large state?
Well, first of all, I think that the biggest threat right now is that 83% of Pennsylvania voters vote on legacy systems that don't have a voter-marked paper ballot as a record of voter intent. So there's a risk there if something happens that there's no ability to recover. What we tried to do was reduce that risk to as close to zero as possible. And so we issued guidance and we talked to counties about how they can deploy those systems as securely as possible to minimize the risk. But that risk is still there. And it's very important to have a system that is resilient. And what we mean by that is that you are able to recover if anything does happen. And that's the sense of urgency that we have now facing the 2018 midterms.
How many counties across Pennsylvania? About 90, right?
No, there's 67 counties total. 50 counties use these legacy systems with no paper backup, and 17 counties use a voter-marked paper ballot that's optically scanned. And with that, they have a ballot marking device for voters with disabilities.
So you told these counties that aren't up to speed with verifiable paper ballots to change. How fast were they able to do that? Did they have the money to do it?
Well, I was at the Department of State. What we did was try to give them guidance on how to deploy them as securely as possible. So as I said, we wanted to minimize the risk that there would be any attack because it's a risk, not a certainty, right? So even though there are threats, that doesn't mean that those threats will actually occur. So you have to take precautions. So that's what we did. After I left the Department of State, I certainly recommend replacement of those machines.
And have counties across Pennsylvania made any progress toward replacement? Are they trying to do that?
I think that the governor's office, in cooperation with the Department of State, is working on that right now.
So we heard just a minute ago from Alex Halderman. He's a computer scientist at the University of Michigan, who testified before the Senate and introduced a letter from 100 election experts and computer scientists about how to get serious about voter security in this country. They made a bunch of recommendations. One you talked about, bring back paper, get rid of paperless systems. And you said that you recommended the same thing in Pennsylvania. Another is to conduct routine statistical spot checking. Basically, keep checking your systems over and over. Use optical scan ballots backed up by paper that you can check. How widespread are these security recommendations right now? You know a lot about Pennsylvania, but what about the rest of the country?
The recommendations for cybersecurity, certainly the prevention recommendations, are being widely messaged across the country through federal agencies. The issue, though, is this piece of cybersecurity that you cannot prevent an attack 100%. That's why you have to monitor, detect, respond, and recover. And so the piece of that for voting is the paper record, because the paper record allows you to look at it in a meaningful way and just see if there is any discrepancy between the paper votes and the electronic tally. And so that messaging has to be stronger. And that's why it's really important that states move to that process.
Marian, where is voter confidence right now, not only after news of Russian meddling in the election, but people look across the country to news reports of efforts to limit voting in state after state? I mean, the courts ruled in North Carolina that the voter ID laws there were specifically designed, surgically, the court said, to help prevent black people from voting. Now, that's a separate issue. But in the minds of voters, they might see lots and lots of efforts, maybe coming from the outside, to hack voting machines or change the results of elections, but coming from their own fellow countrymen to limit the vote using legal means. I mean, how confident can voters be in the results of their elections now?
I want to make 2 points. Number one, Charles Stewart at MIT does a survey after every election, and his survey has consistently showed pretty high voter confidence in how they vote. And I'll also point to the turnout in 2016 was higher than 2012, not as high as 2008, which was one for the record books, but pretty high turnout. So all of the narrative about interference and hacking didn't seem to dampen turnout there. And we just had some elections in 2017, and some of them were the highest turnout. And especially that's, you know, some special elections have had very high turnout. So if you just look at what's happening, you know, in the Virginia election in 2017, in the special election in Alabama, people are coming out to vote. I feel like there's one way to make sure your vote won't be counted, and that's if you don't show up.
Well, Marian Schneider, before I let you go, as I mentioned, I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm from a swing county, from Dauphin County, in a swing state. It can go either way. Right now, if I were back home voting in Dauphin County in a really important election and I went down to the local school to cast my vote, how confident could I be that the vote would be recorded and counted and entered into the record as I intended?
I think you can be confident because we've taken the steps to minimize the risk of tampering in Pennsylvania. So if you look on the Department of State's website, you'll see guidance that we issued in September of 2016 that says this is what you need to do to make sure your systems are as secure as possible. And I think that the election directors in Pennsylvania do a good job and want to run good and secure elections. However, I want to put in one plug because there was an advisory committee on voting technology to the Joint State Government Commission. That's a lot of words, and basically it's a committee for the legislature. And I served on the committee. Counties were heavily represented on that committee, and they issued the report December 12th or December 11th, and they recommend that the election code be changed to have a voter verifiable paper ballot. That's important, and it's a sea change for Pennsylvania, and we just need the funding to get it done and get it done quickly.
Marian Schneider, president of Verified Voting, former election official in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Marian, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The Takeaway is supported by LegalZoom.com, providing public radio listeners with legal advice and guidance on business matters and estate plans through its network of independent attorneys. More information is available at LegalZoom.com/takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.